Welcome back to Story Strategy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. We are on episode 55 today. Can you believe that?
That is crazy. But I'm ready to get back to it. I've missed it.
Me too. Yes, and I'm excited about the stuff that we're talking about this year. I just finished re-editing the Becca Syme Writing Myths episode, and so I'm kind of all like, ah, this was good. Like, I want to do more of this. So here we go. Well, so
we are set.
Yes. And today we're going to be sort of starting at the beginning and literally talking about how to begin. So
yes.
What does that mean? How to begin?
Well, we're talking about people who say things like, oh, I've always wanted to write a book, but they have no idea where to start. So we're working with, where do you start? Like from the very beginning, where do you get your ideas? How do you take those ideas from just floating around in your brain to actually some kind of usable format? How do you know if they are strong enough to support an entire story? And then how do you actually start getting words out?
Right. But even for writers who have some experience and maybe have written a book or two, this is, I think, still going to be helpful because you may be able to hone some specific areas of your process so that they're a little bit more effective.
Yes, and we've got lots of ideas for inspiration. So if you're ever stuck and you're like, I really want to write, but I don't know what I can write about, we've got some ways for you to find some stuff.
That was always my biggest issue before I published a book. I thought like that it had to be very important, that I had to come up with a total, complete story, and it had to like be super meaningful. And so I was always stuck because even if you have a really good idea that's probably meaningful, as a writer who's never written a book, it's really hard to see it that way. So I was just constantly stopped by my own belief that it had to be this thing.
Well, and what's funny about that is we enjoy books that are not big, grand, life-changing moments. We enjoy... Yes. We enjoy simple things. We just like the story.
Exactly. A good story pretty much makes up for anything else in my mind.
So starting off, you as a writer, do you start with plot or do you start with character?
Ooh, I feel like I have done both, but most of the time I think I start with character.
Okay.
Because I know... In romance, you usually start almost with a trope or like a setup, which is not a plot. It's just like an idea, like a baker and a jet pilot, you know, something like that. So literally the characters. Yeah.
Well, and when we do story coaching, we've talked about before how we do story coaching with all levels of where the story is at. And so I have literally done story coaching multiple times where the author said, so this is their names.
Go.
Yeah. And that's all we know. And we build from there.
Yeah.
So there's some, when I was writing before I started editing, I almost always started with a plot because I like mystery and suspense. And so I would start with a crime or a mystery or something. And then I would be like, oh, I need people to solve this.
Right. Well, and you don't have to be writing mystery or thrillers, though, to start with plot. Like when Marika and I started the digital dating series, I think the whole thing came about because I was like, what if somebody started texting someone and they thought it was somebody else and they ended up falling in love? Like, that was the whole thing. And so we had to build the books from there. But again, that's more of a setup than a plot, really.
Well, and I think all great brainstorming sessions include the words, what if, about 9.5 million times. Yeah. What if this happened? Ooh, well, what if instead of being a baker, she was a kindergarten teacher?
Right.
And
whenever I'm coaching now, too, I use what if a lot because it's kind of a hard path to walk. When you're coaching somebody, you don't want to tell them what their story should be. But at the same time, I'll get all excited if somebody's talking about what's going on and this is going to happen and then this person's going to do this. I'll be like, oh, but what if? What if they did
right,
this?
Right.
Like, oh. Or no, Nancy.
Way back when I was in education, they made us do courses on how to critique each other's ideas and how to carefully word things so that you didn't discourage. And so what they always told us to use was the words, I wonder. If a student came to you and had a project that they wanted to do and they're explaining it and you wanted to add something to it, instead of saying you should do it this way, it was, I wonder if you could do this. So for those of you who are listening, if you are working with a brainstorming partner or if you're working in a critique group, here are some ways to kind of soften your ideas when you're throwing them out there.
Yes, and not everyone is good at that, because I've had so many situations where someone's like, no, that's stupid. I'm like,
yes, yeah. Well, and we could do a whole show on that too, but partner. Yes, and because you've got to have room for that too. You've got to have room for those ideas. And I think what's important with what we're kind of talking about here is if you're first starting out, you can come up with any idea you want. And if somebody immediately replies with, oh, that's stupid, well, if you really like that idea, I bet there's a way to make it not stupid. I bet there's a way to make it work and somebody wants to read it.
Yeah.
So looking for your inspiration, because you don't necessarily have to plot or have to work from character first. You don't necessarily have to work from plot first. We are going to do shows in February of if you want to start with character, how do you build out from that? And if you want to start with plot, how do you build out from that? But you can have a mixture of the two. So the main thing to start with is just, where do you get an idea from? Where does it pop into your head? It's honestly not magic, even though we'd like to believe it was.
Right. Well, and like I said, there was a time when I didn't have a single idea. And now I see them everywhere. I my brain is just, it's like speaking a different language. You just start to do it.
Yes.
I think you get in the habit of looking for story ideas. Once you've generated a few, then your brain starts working that way. But so if I've never done it before, talk to Nancy 15 years ago when I was like, I want to write a book. Where do I start?
Well, there's tons of different places. Like you said, we see ideas all the time. I spend a lot of time eavesdropping. I spend a lot of time people watching, and I spend a lot of time just listening to people, because even just the slightest hint of a conversation can send your brain off in a different direction. So there are ways, there's plenty of places online and programs that will give you writing prompts. And there's, I think I have a book over here on my shelf that's like 363 writing prompts. And sometimes those work well. Sometimes it doesn't, because, for example, when my daughter was younger, she had signed up for something that sent her a daily writing prompt. And after about a week of them, she was like, I've decided this doesn't work for me. Because she said, the instant it pops out, I look at it and I'm like, oh no, I don't want to write about that. You're not going to tell me what to write.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same way. Every time I get one of those, I'm like, but that sounds boring. Like, I don't want to write about that. And the thing, this is going to sound weird, but, I get ideas from TV and movies mostly, but not because I watch something and I'm like, oh, I'm going to go write exactly what I just watched. It's more like, oh, what if they had done it this way instead? And I think there's another aspect to this that's important to hit on here as we're talking about ideas, because we have so many writers come and say, well, not really, but I have heard writers in the past say, oh, this is a totally unique idea. I don't think it's been done. And
it has.
Yeah, A, it has, and B, that makes it really hard to sell. But it's not a bad thing to take an idea that you love, that you've seen done 50 times, and make it yours, do it some other way. I think, in fact, that's a great way to start.
Well, and one thing I used to do when I was stuck on ideas is just turn the TV on and pick a random channel and either listen for the dialogue, you know, turn it on, hear like 10 seconds of dialogue, and then turn it off and be like, okay, I'm going to write a scene where those people say that. But the reason that they're saying it for me is going to be completely different than the reason they were just saying it in the show.
Right.
Or if the dialogue is pretty generic, you watch about a minute of it and then build something from that scene. Like, to, again, turn the TV off. Don't let yourself get sucked into whatever you're watching if it's, you know, your writing time. But then you build of, okay, what could have happened that led up to that scene? Or what's going to happen after that scene? And it works really well, in my opinion, if you are watching a show you're not familiar with. Because one of the, I wasn't looking for something to write when this happened, but everybody was talking about Sons of Anarchy, mm-hmm. which is the show about the motorcycle club. And
Sons of Anarchy, yes.
Oh, yes, yes. Everyone should, let me tell you. Or they should at least know what Jax Teller is. You at least need yeah. that in your life. Yeah. And I don't even like blondes normally, but I would make an exception for that man. But anyway, so one night I was home and I actually had control of the TV myself. And I was flipping through channels and I caught like the last 5 minutes of a Sons of Anarchy episode. I have no idea who these characters are. I have no idea why. And I happened to catch, I don't want to spoil it for anybody who's watching it, but I happened to catch like one of the top, like when you look at the list, it was one of the top five most shocking moments. That I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know who this person was. I didn't know why what I just saw happen happened. But if I watch that 5 minutes and I close that, then I could have written a completely different story that led up to the exact same thing happening. And it's still original.
Right. So, I mean, artists take inspiration from each other. Art is, art fuels art. And
yes,
books are art. So I don't think there's any reason to be worried. I hear authors say like, oh, I, you know, I write romance, so I don't read romance because I don't want to be influenced by what I'm reading. Which I guess I kind of get, like you might accidentally steal a turn of phrase or something that, that clicked in your head when you were reading the night before, maybe. But otherwise, I have never worried that I'm going to arbitrarily steal someone's plot because that just wouldn't happen.
Right. Well, and you could give five different authors the exact same plot of, I want you to write about a kindergarten teacher and a grumpy fireman, and they have to work together to create a fundraiser to save the school. And you could give five different authors that exact same plot, and you're going to get five different stories.
Right. Totally.
Yes.
Well, so I was just going to say, let's like kind of dive into nitty gritty tips. Like maybe what we've shared isn't going to work for somebody. So what other stuff can we recommend for generating ideas?
Well, music is always a good thing. Music. And I love songs that tell stories, which is why I don't like songs where you can't understand the words. I want to know what they're saying. So you can pick your favorite song and think about what story is it telling. And then especially country music is awesome at this. And I know country music takes a bad rap, but country, they tell you a story every single song. I did see a meme the other day that was like, you know, male country singers are like, oh, I miss my wife and I miss my dog and I miss my truck. And female country singers are like, oops, I killed my husband. That's very true. So, but songs that tell stories can give you some solid inspiration. And one of the tricks I heard a long time ago, I heard this from another author who got it from someplace else. So I apologize for not having credit for this exact idea, but it was the idea of you put your playlist on, you know, whatever music app you use, put it on shuffle and then put the songs in order as they come up. And you could do like the first 5 songs or the first 10 songs or the first 3 songs, whatever you're looking for. And those are your chapter titles or themes.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're writing a scene based on, it doesn't even necessarily have to be based on what the song says, but based on the title or based on a lyric from that song.
Huh. I understand how that could work for people. It feels arbitrarily challenging to me. Like, I guess though I'm, to go back to the Becca Syme thing, I'm very outcome driven. So it's hard for me to do a writing exercise if there's no point. Do you know what I mean? Like if it's not part of
And that's exactly what this would be. This would be writing strictly to get you started writing. And you have to go into it with the idea of, I'm getting some words down, I'm getting some thoughts, I'm playing a little bit. This could turn into something or this could turn into nothing.
Yeah. I think maybe I did more of that before I was generating books on any kind of schedule. But now it seems like, why would I bother?
Well, it's just to give people ideas to work from. If you are sitting there and you want to write and you are completely stuck on, I don't have an idea at all, then you could build off of that. If you have a certain mood that you're looking for, if you want to, like I said, if you want to write something that's a small town, that's why a lot of authors are starting to include playlists in their books. Mm-hmm. You know, you can take that song and make it fit the mood of whatever you're looking for. So some other places where you can get some ideas, news stories are always interesting.
Yeah. Depending on what your news source is.
Well, and I always like to find those weird, like, you know, there's a zoo that will name a cockroach after your ex for Valentine's Day and feed it to a lizard. And so you pay like $5 and they're like, here's your cockroach. His name is now Robert. Oops, he's toast. You know, and so those kind of things could give you an idea. The other thing that you can use is I came from a family of storytellers.
Yeah, me too.
And so every time anybody in the family got together, there were stories that, you know, everybody, the same stories come up. And so you can take bits and pieces of those stories and either make them go the way you want them to go, if they don't go the way you want them to go, or you can use them as inspiration for building out the characters you want to build out.
That makes sense. Yeah, I've definitely used some family stories in the past, I think, or not necessarily my family stories, but like parallels to them, like, you know, something similar, but funnier or whatever. So yes, I think there's a lot to draw on in family situations, especially if you're going to write like small town or anything with a family. I think sibling relationships are ripe for harvesting in terms of ideas. And I don't necessarily mean ideas for a story as much as ideas of how to build a certain character.
Yes.
Sibling relationships are so interesting. There's so much depth to them and so many layers that I think you can pull a lot from those.
Well, and I think too, that's where you can find either characters that you really, you know, you want to show off. Like my great grandmother was fabulous. She lived into her 90s. She drove a Mustang. She had three husbands before it was fashionable to have three husbands. And she literally never stopped flirting with men. Like I was at her 85th birthday. My cousin and I were trapped in an elevator with her and a man who was clearly blind. He had a cane and grandma's all like, nice weather we're having today, isn't it? And we're like, would you stop it? And so you could either use those kind of characters and build them up.
Right.
Kind of like the grandmother that you have in your series. Or you can take somebody who should have been nicer to you. And if you are, you know, writing books like I enjoy, you can do really bad, mean things to them and nobody cares. And they will not recognize themselves. Trust me. They don't, they won't know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so let's see what else. I like this, writing about something that you find interesting, but don't really want to do, like skydiving or.
Yes.
What do you call it? Deep sea fishing. Like
I call it Dawn's List of Nope, because I'm not doing any of that. Yeah. But yeah, you can, there's a lot of things that, for example, like you said, skydiving. I find it fascinating that people want to do that because I do not understand it on any level. But you can write a character who does all the things that you're terrified to do. And that's when we get into the question of everybody's always, you know, write what you know. What do we think about that?
That's one of the myths that Becca talked about. If we, well, I mean, A, if I only wrote what I know, granted, I know quite a lot. but I know this much about this many things. So it would be not probably all that interesting. Plus, I think that one of the most fun things about writing is that you get to live all these different lives that you'll never actually get to live. So I have a huge fear of missing out. And I think that's why it's hard for me to say no to opportunities and job offers and whatever else. So I love writing characters that do things that I sort of have always wanted to do. Like I had a character who opened a bookstore / wine shop in San Diego because I always wanted to open a bookstore / wine shop. I've been told no routinely by my husband.
It's like, nah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, and if you look at, I mean, somebody like me, because you've had a much more interesting life than I have.
I don't know about that.
If you look at somebody like me, of okay, you want me to write what I know teenagers because I live with them, and laundry. Neither one of those are going to make a really fascinating book at this point. I have no desire to be chased by anyone with a gun or any kind of weapon, and I have long established I'm dying first in the zombie apocalypse. I will sacrifice myself so y'all can get away. So I like the idea of getting to experience that kind of thing from the safety of my keyboard.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a way for us to live many lives. You know, life on Earth is short. I'm not sure what happens when we're gone, but I want to do as much as possible during the time I'm sure about. So writing lots of different situations is one way for me to explore life.
Yes.
So I highly recommend that. If there's something that you're interested in, even if it seems completely non-related to writing or whatever book you might have in your head, find a way to work that in. Find a way to get to do it existentially, because you may not get to do it in real life.
Well, and that can go for, you know, learning how to knit or learning how to, you know, build your own greenhouse to, we do work with romance writers. And some of the situations that come up in these romance books, no, I've been in a situation where two guys who both wanted to ask me out showed up at the same place at the same time. And it's not near as fun in person as it is in a book. Let me just tell you that right now.
Experience. I don't feel very sorry for you.
Yeah, but you can play with those kind of situations, and there's no shame in that.
Right.
And even when you start getting into the steamier parts of it, again, you don't have to be writing what you know. Mm-mm. You can write what you think might be fun, and that is okay.
Or you can explore all those dark nooks and crannies of your psyche that you really don't want to experience in real life, and that's fine too.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So once you've got some ideas, what if I have five ideas and I'm like, oh, they're all books. What should I do? What do I do?
First, my first thought on that is if you have five ideas and you could turn them all into books, you put them all, you know, store them somewhere so that 2 months from now, you're like, I had the best idea. And now I don't remember anything.
I put them, I voice record myself. I'm usually driving when I have this great idea. And so I'll voice record a note and it'll just get buried in my phone somewhere. And then later I will look at the note, and between the dictation inaccuracies and whatever insane idea I thought was such a great idea at the time, I'll look at these notes. I think I handed it to my husband once and he was like, I don't even know what it was, but he was like, what is this? And I was like, oh, I think that was that story idea.
Yeah. Write them down enough that they're coherent and you can come back to them.
Yes.
But I would also say in that moment, think about if these books were already written, which one would you want to read?
That's good advice.
Because you're going to be spending a lot of time with them. And so if you have five ideas and maybe things are already kind of dark in your life right now, or you're coming out of something and three of the ideas are dark, but two of them are kind of fun and light, you might want to go for the fun and light in that moment. So what would you want to read if you had your choice of these books already on the shelf?
That's a good plan. Well, so a lot of times I'll have an idea that is literally just an idea. Like, what if, you know, this girl walks in the supermarket and the boyfriend that she dated in high school, who supposedly died in a horrible car accident, is her checkout boy, or I don't know. That's like an idea. It's not a book. So how do you figure out whether the idea that you're in love with is enough to carry a story forward?
That's when you have to go to my favorite thing, which is the stakes and the conflict. So that's where you take a minute, like you're talking about, the girl walks into the supermarket, she sees this boy that she was in love with that supposedly died. There is so much you could play with there. Like, okay, so is he undercover? What's going to happen when she goes up and talks to him? Is he going to remember her? Does he have amnesia? Did he fake his own death? So you've got all that to build with. So you look at, especially because we tend to deal in romance, if you're looking at a romance, why can they not immediately be together? Why can't they just live happily ever after this moment? What do they both have to lose and what do they both have to gain? And is that enough to keep me interested? And in this case, the me is the writer, because you're the one who has to get the book out. Is this enough to keep me interested for however long I want to write? Am I looking at a short story? Am I looking at a novella? Or am I looking at a novel? Am I looking at a trilogy? Is what I'm starting with right now, can I build that and make it stronger enough to make it last? Which is part of what we do in story coaching too, is we work on laying out those stakes and the conflicts and the character arcs. But kind of, I think the most important question to look at in that those moments is this going to hold my attention?
Because by translation, it will then possibly hold a reader's attention or not.
Right.
Right. All right. Well, so I think the answer to this is going to be different for everyone. But do you just start writing, or do you sit down and work out an entire outline and then write a paragraph for every chapter and then build and build and build until you have a book? How do you actually begin? I have this idea. I've worked it out, so I know it's enough of an idea for a book. Now what do I do?
If you are brand new, you have never written anything before, then I think you have to play with that. Because some people can sit down in front of a computer, they start off with their little blank page and their blinking cursor, and the next thing they know, it's 3 hours later and they have 5,000 words on that page. And they, you know, just kind of bleh it all out. Other people, when they sit down and they see that, their brain's like, I have never heard of words. I have no concept of language. I'm shutting down now. So they have to have a map. They have to sit down. They have to think about it a little while. And so you've got to know which way it works for you. And I think that kind of sometimes ties into how you make decisions, like outside of writing, like just in life. If you like to ponder things a little bit and work out all the different ways something could happen, then you're probably going to want to take a minute and make, I know sometimes people start panicking when we say the word outline, but you want to make a map. You want to make a, even if it's just a bullet pointed list of, well, this could happen, and then this could happen, and then that could happen. And if you are absolutely brand new to writing, I do not suggest trying to immediately figure out all of your story beats, which is what we're going to talk about next week or in the next episode, is because that can get very overwhelming. However, but
I did mean to interrupt you, but now I feel bad about it.
That's okay.
Say if you're brand new to writing, well, Dawn doesn't recommend that you outline all of your beats, and we'll tell you what those are. I also don't recommend that you just sit down and write the book.
Right. And
it's going to go well, unless you're extremely intuitively talented.
Well, or you have a lot of experience with reading. Because sometimes new writers, if you have read and read and read, you're already going to have some grasp of story structure, even though you don't realize it.
Well, yes, yes. But it depends on your mind, too, because, and I'm speaking totally from personal experience, because the first book I ever sent to a publisher was not a book. It was a mess. There was no coherent story. There was really not a plot. It was, and I read a lot. Books were my friends. I spent more time with books than I did with people for the first 20 years of my life. So I think the problem is that I don't have a critical mind. I'm always happy to suspend disbelief. I watch a movie like a zombie. I don't, unless I make myself, I don't think about like, oh, why, what, you know, how did she do that? Or why did they decide to do this? Or how, you know, until I'm completely done. And then I'm just like, oh, that was good. And then I can't remember why it worked or didn't work or how they did it, unless I'm thinking about that all the way through. So if you're a super critical reader, maybe you already know how to write a book.
So. Right. Well, and I totally agree with you that you do need some kind of plan. I think sometimes just sitting down and starting, because we're focusing on beginnings, I think sometimes just sitting down and starting gets you moving a little bit, that even if you just get a little bit on the page, then you can think about, okay, where do I want to go from here? The reason I would say, if you are brand new to writing, not to sit down with like the save the cat beat sheet and try to fill in, is if you're not familiar with those yet, that can be very intimidating.
That's true. Yeah.
And you get this feeling of it becomes like a worksheet at school of I have to fill in all the blanks. And sometimes even veteran writers don't fill in all of the blanks until they get to it.
Yeah.
So the idea is that you have to find your process.
Right. And I did look for worksheets. I wanted a worksheet so badly. Like, just let me put in a couple things and then you tell me what the story is. Like, that was what I wanted.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, and I think, too, when we're talking about if you are very, very brand new to this, whenever we talk about brainstorming and figuring out how you're going to get past, like, the first three sentences of taking your story, how are you going to get past? She walks into the grocery store. Oh my God, I thought that guy was dead. Then you start talking about, okay, are you comfortable talking to other people? So do you have somebody in your life that you could be like, okay, sit down and listen to me tell you about the story and you tell me what you think, that one is going to be kind to you and two, that you trust their opinion.
Right.
Or do you need to find an online group where you can do that kind of thing? Or do you need to, you know, we both do brainstorming sessions. Do you need somebody to do that kind of thing? So I think once you get the plot or once you get your basic idea and then deciding if you're ready to just sit down and start spitting out words or if you need to lay out that plot comes from how do you feel about it at that point?
Yeah. Well, and I think, so I was never bad at, like, once I got the idea, I could see how, like, I would read a book about this, but I could never figure out how, okay, so here's this very tenuous, like, skeletal idea. I was always like, yeah, but what happens? Like, okay, but so what happens? Like, how, scene by scene, where do these people go? What are they talking about? Who are their friends? Like, what happens? And that was always such a stopping point for me, because I couldn't, I wasn't good at thinking through enough of the basic stuff that started to build automatically. Like, I knew that this girl walked into the grocery store, but I hadn't asked myself, well, who's this girl? And what is she trying to do? Like, why is she at the grocery store, first of all? And does she have a job? Is she shopping for her sick child? Is, you know, like, I never got to that point. I always was like, oh, but this is such a good idea. So I think it's important to, you know, don't rest on the laurels of this fantastic idea. You're going to have to then dig a lot deeper. And that's part of the stakes and conflict part that you were talking about earlier.
Yes, you want to, that's when you're starting to test out the depth of the concept. Like, does it have enough meat for me to work with here? And then, of course, we know I always fall back on story structure. And so in our next episode, we're going to talk about basic story structure, very, very basic, and what kind of information is out there to help you build on these stories? And how do you, like you're saying, you've got to figure out what happened and you've got to figure out what do you know about these characters and what's important to know about them and what's not. Right. Like, it's important to know why the girl walked into the grocery store. It's not important to know right in that moment what her favorite color is.
Right. Or that she, like, has blonde hair. Like, that doesn't really matter.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're going to kind of touch on those in the next couple episodes of how do you build out this idea? Once you have it, and you've got, even you may have this great opening, and then you start running out of steam, where do you go? You know, should you edit as you're writing? Should you write everything beginning to end straightforward? Or can you write little snippets of the scenes as they come to you? And the answer to all of that is yes, yes, no, no, whatever fits your process.
Right. Go back to the Evident Ink Facebook page or the YouTube page and watch the Becca Syme episode that I just rebooted, because all of that gets covered. And the answer is always yes.
Right. Yes. Well, and especially to our very, very new authors, it's going to take you a while to learn that process, and that process can change, and that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, just because you decide you're a plotter when you start doesn't mean you have to be a plotter a year in. You may find that you're not a plotter, but you have to start somewhere, right? The challenge is right. Begin. Don't be afraid and start.
Yes. Yeah. And if that starting means you sit down and start writing, or if that starting means that you sit down and write out the most detailed outline anyone has ever seen, whatever works for you is great.
Or maybe it means that you sign up for an hour of consultation and tell Dawn your idea and she helps you figure out how to start. That isn't wrong either. Getting some help.
Yes, that is okay. We support that fully, actually.
We should have done that. And I think that's super fun, actually. I love it when somebody just has sort of a basic idea and then we get to sort of, it's like the whole world is your oyster. Anything can happen.
Well, and what I love in that process, whether you're working with one of us or if you're brainstorming with a friend or with a critique group, is I love that moment when you see the author go, oh, yes, that would work.
Yes.
That's what I was looking for. That's a fun moment. I like that. Well, I like that a lot.
Yes. It's good being the author on that side, too, when you like have this problem that you cannot see the way out of and then you figure it out or somebody helps you see it and you're like, oh, yes, I have to go fix that now.
Yes, I gotta write it down. Gotta write it down right now. So, okay. So we have given, I think, some great ideas to get people started.
Hope so.
And hopefully, and we have, we're making some changes to how the story strategy is going to be presented.
And recorded, really.
And recorded, yeah, because we're not doing live anymore.
No, this is mostly for ease of editing and also because our lives are busy. And this way we can get you more content more regularly than if we had to find a hard time to schedule every week.
So our plan for going forward is that we're going to do 2 shows a month recorded.
Yes.
So our next show for this month is going to be about story beats and story structure. And if you have this great idea, how do you move forward with that? And then in that show, we're also going to talk about craft books that we enjoy and recommend and things that can help you move forward.
Yes, definitely. And in between the podcasts, or if you view us on YouTube, the videos, then you can always find us in the Story Strategy Saloon on the Evident Ink Facebook page. There's also a contact form on our website, evidentink.com. You're welcome to just fill it out with a bunch of crap so you can get to the message box and ask us a question.
Yes.
Just message us directly on Facebook, whatever. We're nice people, and we're always happy to hear from writers at whatever stage you're at, whatever you're trying to figure out. That's why we're here. We love this stuff.
Yes. So feel free to talk to us, and we're excited about this new year.
Yes, definitely. Happy 2022. Did you celebrate New Year's Eve, Dawn? Did you like stay up until midnight? And
I stayed up till 12:15.
Wow, I was in bed at 9.
No, I stayed up until 12:15. I had a friend here, and we played games and watched the ball drop on TV. And then we realized, because we're in a new neighborhood, we moved out in July, and we are outside of the city limits. And we realized that a lot of our neighbors like to set off fireworks. And so
you moved to where I left in Maryland.
Yeah. So at midnight, I was like, I'm good, because they'd been setting them off a little bit earlier. And at midnight, I was like, I'm going to go look outside. And so all of us just stood out in the front yard going, ooh.
Everyone and it was worried about fireworks here because we're in a super drought. And we just had those fires up in Boulder.
So yes, that's scary.
There was so much warning about, like, please do not set off fireworks, because people do that here all the time, too.
Well, it had been raining all day, so we were in a little bit better situation. But yeah, so that's how I made it to...
Maryland is like a swamp, so it was never a big issue there. But here in Colorado, super dry all the time. And in California, they were just illegal. So I grew up, like, only ever seeing fireworks at, like, Disneyland.
Mm, yeah, in the shows. Mm-hmm. But yes, I was very proud that I made it till 12:15.
I'm proud of you too. I don't think I've seen midnight on New Year's Eve for like, I don't know, 10 years.
Once we hit a certain stage in your life, it's just not that fun. Mm-mm. It's just not.
Well, it's not like something's going to happen at 12:01 that I just have to be awake for, you know, and January 1st is going to be just like every other day. Someone's going to want dinner eventually.
Yeah, that's exactly. And that's when we get back to the writing what you know, dinner and laundry and kids who need things. So, yeah, exactly. But we have exciting stuff this year. Yeah. Find us on social media and we look forward to talking to y'all later.
All right. We'll see you again soon. Thanks, guys.